The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
You're listening to Fresh FM. I'm Chrissy Small presenting Stranded in Paradise from the book by John Dix. In this show, you'll be hearing stories and songs from the history of New Zealand rock and roll from 1955 through to 1988.
Kia ora, this is John Dix, I'm the author of Stranded in Paradise, and you're listening to Fresh FM.
And that was the Screaming Mimes with See Me Go. In our last episode of Stranded in Paradise, on chapter The Rise of the New Independents, we talked about Radio Hauraki's efforts to promote the independent artists. In all, Hauraki Homegrown 80 was as bland and forgettable as AK-79 had been exciting and essential. It was left to Propeller's first album, a compilation, of course, to provide a worthy successor to AK-79. Unlike the Ripper compilation, Propeller's Class of 81 didn't reflect on the year just past, but on one still to come. Griggs' ear was pretty accurate, for over the next 12 months some of these groups were to have a great impact on Kiwi rock. Consider the Ainsworths, Blam Blam Blam, Bombers, Killjoys, Moderns, Pneumatics, New Tones, Rebel Truce, Rhythm Method, Screaming Memes, Vivid Militia, and Youth for a Price. That was Blam Blam Blam, Don't Fight It, Marsha, It's Big. And that's, of course, featuring the vocals of Don McGlashan. And it was a song that he also recorded with Front Lawn. I'll just play another track from that list of independent artists.
I will await to find that you were
And that was the Killjoys with their song Fall Around Me. Most of these bands were young, all but one. Christchurch's New Tones came from Auckland, half of them from the North Shore, a veritable garage land throughout 1980. Keep me up on top of the world. And that was the New Tones, Paint the Town Red. That was from the video on YouTube that was filmed for the New Zealand show Ready to Roll back in 1981. Greg couldn't really accept all the praise for discovering this fine lineup of groups, but even if he had to share some of the credit with Brian Staff, who'd been providing these bands with regular work at XS Cafe, his contribution to Auckland rock in the early 80s was considerable. Discounting the new tones, most of these groups never quite broke out of the Queen City. Three that did were the Blams, Pneumatics and Mimes. Two of them were to lead to Simon Griggs' financial downfall. Meanwhile, Brian Staff had lost his business partner and Grigg had gained one Paul Rose, who came along to help at Propeller, and Mike Chun left Ripper to form his own indie XSF Records. Chun's Ripper role had never been full-time. He'd always pursued other interests, managing, producing, promoting. His latest baby was Pop Mechanics, and it was their third single, Jumping Out a Window, which was XSF's first release. XSF followed through with a thoroughly compiled album of late 70s releases, Hits and Myths, Dragons, Dudes, Hello Sailor, Spit Ends, Suburban Reptiles, Toy Love and eight others. XSF financed very little recording, but their retrospective Hits album proved invaluable for record collectors who had missed the original releases. Chun, always on the move, later briefly joined XSF distributor CBS as a staff member. In 1981, Propeller began to overshadow Ripper. Ripper still scored the odd success, charting with the Androids and Amimi's Pneumatics Double Cider. Later, Staff scored a coup with the rights to market the successful Swingers for Mushroom. But it was Propeller that made the greater strides, starting with the Screaming Mimes, chart-topping See Me Go in August. With that incredible achievement, there could be little doubt that the Mimes was up there near the top of the ladder. Propeller also boasted the services of two fast-rising bands, the Pneumatics and Blam Blam Blam. In July, Grigg got an indication of what lay in store for his three-star signings when, as tour manager, he travelled the country with the Student Arts Council's Screaming Blam-matic show. It was the best rock and roll show to hit NZ in 1981 with full houses every night. The tour was the first sign that the interest in these three bands had turned national. But, for different reasons, the lifespans of all three groups were to be brief. The Pneumatics was formed in 1981 by vocalist Mark Clear and guitarist Brent Paisley, who recruited Jeff Smith on bass and Dick Reed drums. They debuted at Elam Art School in July, after which saxophonist Simon Clark was added to the lineup. And Reed, replaced by Ben Staples, influenced by the British ska scene, the Pneumatics became a regular attraction at XS Cafe, their enthusiastic dance music a hit with Auckland teens. On December 17th, the Pneumatics played a near full XS Cafe and were witness to a blatant act of brutality. It wasn't the Boot Boys this time, although a member of that tribe may have ignited the violence, but the Auckland Task Force, claiming a bottle had been thrown at a passing patrol car. The boys in blue burst into the room and, batons swinging, laid waste to anyone who got in their way. Later released on the broadcast or EP, the Pneumatics wrote a song about the incident, Riot Squad.
Keep it down.
And that was Riot Squad by the Pneumatics. In March 81, the Pneumatics provided Free Miseries for Class of 81 and shared a ripper single with the Mimes, Judas, which spent 3 weeks in the lower section of the charts. Judas was promoted by the band's first national tour, stopping off midway to return to Auckland to support Madness. In July came the Screaming Blam-matic Roadshow. A second saxophonist, Kelly Rogers, had now been added to the lineup, and it was this beefed-up band which recorded the broadcast, or EP, for Propeller's sister label, Furtive. The EP, packaged as two singles, reached number 13 on the charts. It was on stage where the Pneumatics really shone, a dance while you smile band, even the Skins joined in the party mood. A handful of 60s soul classics crept into their repertoire, Land of a Thousand Dances being a particular favourite, but it was the originals which stood out. And that was the Pneumatics with their song, Square One. Simon Clark left in October, replaced by trombonist Chris Watts. Immediately after Christmas, the band supported the Pink Flamingos on its highly successful Beach Resorts tour, winning converts nightly. They disbanded in April 82, leaving behind a contribution to Ripper Radio B's Goat Milk Soup compilation and another single for Furtive, Square One. At the time of the Pneumatics breakup, Propeller's other two biggies were really hitting their stride, taking the label into the album's market. Not cheapy four-track LPs, but like Ripper's, Tektone's efforts, but ultra-modern, state-of-the-art jobs. The two ventures, A Great Leap for Propeller, were a huge risk and one that wouldn't have been possible without the support of Doug Rogers, who had come a long way since his four-track recording days in the mid-70s. Harlequin's four-track was replaced by an eight-track, and then in 1980 a new setup was opened in Albert Street, Central Auckland, an ultra-modern computer mixed-down 24-track studio. Most of the Propeller recordings had been produced at Harlequin, and when Simon Grigg went for broke, Doug Rogers took the gamble too. Grigg realised that if he was to hold on to his stable of bands, he would be obliged to show faith by financing albums. The multinationals may not have the best ears for discovering new sounds, but, success assured, they would be there, checkbook in hand, with the advantage of possible overseas release. For the band's part, an album with an independent label had the advantage of artistic freedom. It was a deal which Blam 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 and the Screaming Memes considered perfect. Grigg's mistake was sending both groups into the studio for simultaneous album releases. The four Screaming Memes, vocalist Tony Drum, guitarist Michael O'Neill, bassist Peter van der Vloot, and skinman John Yo Landwer, were still at school on Auckland's North Shore when the band was formed in 1979. Parties and high school dances followed, and by 1980 they were already scoring support gigs in the city, lying through teenage teeth to their parents, skipping homework and chasing the rock and roll dream. Throughout 1980, the Memes rapidly left the competition behind. With the decline of punk, the Memes' good time pop brackets were well received by the teenage audience, and at year's end, only the Pneumatics competed with the band for the young crowd. The Memes was by no means gigging regularly, and when they played XS Cafe, the kids treated it as something of an occasion. Word spread wide about this energetic teenage band, and in the new year they contributed tracks to both Hauraki Homegrown 80 on an early recording of See Me Go and Class of 81 All Dressed Up, followed by their single with the Pneumatics Can't Take It on Ripper.
Take it, they'll make it, oh.
That, of course, was Can't Take It. In late January, the Mimes did the near impossible when, in the mid-morning spot, they earned an encore at Sweetwater's in 81. In April came their first out-of-town gigs in Christchurch and Wellington, and in July a National Universities tour as part of the Screaming Blammatic Roadshow, followed by the Andrew Snoid produced See Me Go. It entered the charts at number one, the first and only time a local recording had achieved this distinction. The chart-topping success of See Me Go took everyone by surprise, the band, Propeller, fans and program directors. The follow-up, Sunday Boys, was released in December, hit number 11 on the charts. The single was culled from the forthcoming album. Hopes were high all around. And that was Sunday Boys by the Screaming Mimes. Meanwhile, Blam 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 had been forging ahead with their superb musicianship, strong melodies and sharp, often satirical lyrics. The Blams were widely touted as successors to Split Enz. Unlike the Mimes, the trio were not newcomers to the scene. Their history dated back to a punky theatrical troupe called The Plague. The Plague was the brainchild of Richard von Sturmer, and the first Blam-to-be, Tim Mahn, joined in 1978. Von Sturmer's outfit sported unusual costumes and performed twisted satire on bureaucracy, cancer and necrophilia. In 1979, three North Shore punks, Andrew McClellan, a.k.a. Snoid, Mark Bell and Ian Gilroy, joined the group. When the troupe disbanded late in the year, they rearranged themselves into Mudder Ferrets, shortly thereafter to the Whiz Kids. McLennan, vocals, Bell, guitar, Mahn, bass, Gilroy, drums, and Kit Snoid, keyboards. Kit's departure coincided with a rockier direction and a successful tour supporting Split Enz. When Gilroy accepted the drummer's seat with the Crocodiles, he was replaced by multi-instrumentalist Don McGlashan, who spiced the sound with his creative and rhythmic flair. With McLennan's departure to Pop Mechanics in July 1980, they were reduced to a three-piece, and borrowing from Richard von Sturmer's writing, as they would continue to do, they became Blam Blam Blam. Sticking around Auckland, the Blams developed a small but loyal following throughout the year. In April 81 came the band's first release, the Maids to Order EP. It stayed in the charts for 14 weeks, and following the critical acclaim for their performances on the Screaming Blam-matic Roadshow, there was no doubting Blam Blam Blam's future, and to prove it, they now had a second record on the charts, a genuine top 10 hit, There Is No Depression in New Zealand, written by McGlashan and von Sturmer. No Depression was typical of the Blams' acidic view of their homeland.
In New Zealand.
With two hits to their credit, the Blams were now in great demand. In September, the man Snoid had replaced in Pop Mechanics, Dick Driver, was recruited as lead singer, but only briefly. It was September when the Blams entered Harlequin to begin work on their Propeller album, and just prior to Christmas came a taster with Don't Fight It, Marsha, It's Bigger Than Both of Us, a love song and probably the most beautiful melody McGlashan has ever come up with. Marsha was another top 10 hit, and for the first time the Blams received considerable airplay. At the beginning of 1982, Propeller Records had two albums near completion. For the label to recoup costs, each had to be certified gold, sales of 7,500. In previous 10 years, very few New Zealand albums had turned gold. Hello Sailor's debut did, their second didn't. Toy Love, despite its number 4 chart position, didn't. Street Talk's Fowley album crept close over a period of time. Mark Williams went gold. Fred Dagg's Greatest Hits went gold 10 times over. Blam Blam Blam's Luxury Length was released in May 1982. The Screaming Mimi's If This Is Paradise, I'll Take the Bag the following month. Neither album turned gold. Simon Grigg was in the poo. The total cost of the two albums was in the region of $30,000, a sum which major labels could write off. For a small company like Propeller, such a figure was devastating. The albums didn't exactly bomb, but their smaller than expected sales inevitably led to Propeller's slump. There were other releases, including a third album, No Tags, We Can't Get Away With It. That was a live recording done cheaply. Propeller also released the Milltown Stowaways LP and a 1983 compilation, We'll Do Our Best, introduced Car Crash Set, Die Hards and The Wastrels. In July 1983, Paul Rose sold his Propeller shares to Marcus Wells, the man who would take care of business while Grigg was overseas. Grigg flew to London as British representative of Doug Rogers' newly formed Z Disc label. With the boss setting into London life, Propeller slowly faded away. Its two star signings both disbanded.
Mine.
That was Blam 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 with The Beach on 42nd Street. Blam Blam Blam's luxury length was a patchy album, from the instant pop accessibility of Marsha and the single Call for Help to the intricate structures of the tracks like Talk Back King. It fluctuated. Despite its overall quality, it wasn't really the type of album to create large sales. It was with the Mimes and their large teen following that Propeller hoped to clean up. If This Is Paradise failed to deliver, most tracks were familiar to fans, but established favourites such as Sunday Boys simply lacked the on-stage drive. Critics were kind, and although it was the Blams who garnered the acclaim, neither album surpassed sales of 5,000. The Mimes had one more hit single to come, Stars in My Eyes, number 18 in February 83, following through with the longest series of farewell concerts since Hello Sailor's departure for the USA in 1978. By the time the Mimes had finally disbanded in mid-year, few seemed to care. We'll be right back. thanks for tuning in to Stranded in Paradise and this episode on the rise of the new independents. This particular episode was dedicated to Propeller Records, which of course is no longer. And I'll bring more on the independents back in the 80s in our next episode of Stranded in Paradise. Tune in every fortnight for a new episode here on Fresh FM.
Kia ora, this is John Dix. I'm the author of Stranded in Paradise, and you're listening to Fresh FM.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.